Welcome to Real Deep Movie Reviews. This episode, we're discussing Black Phone 2, starring Ethan Hawke. Before we get started, just a quick warning. We're going to have plenty of spoilers throughout our discussion today. All right, what'd you think?
I liked it. I thought it was good. I don't think it's as good as the first one. Like, I don't think it's even in the same, like, conversation, if you're comparing it. And I do think that's... I do think it's hard for horror as a genre specifically to outclass the first one. Now it can be done, right? Like, I feel like there's actually a lot of examples of it happening. Like, you look at like Nightmare on Elm Street 3 is better than the first one. Friday the 13th, you're crazy if you think the first Friday the 13th is the best out of the whole series, right? But there's a lot of franchises where, you know, you're going to get the exact opposite, where it's like Halloween, you know, kind of obviously it's the first one, right? Or like Scream, you know, they've made tons of sequels, but first one's the best. You know, and I think that's kind of one of these where it's like the first one was so good that I don't know how you could outclass it. I don't know how you could really compare to it in a sequel, you know?
Yeah. My initial reaction coming out of there was I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. It was a really good movie. Outside of it just being a sequel, it was just, yeah, it was a good movie and I really enjoyed watching it. And I really had to think about it for a little bit, like, all right, well, how did I think about this one compared to the first one? Because it was, you know, there's always a little bit of like recency bias where you see something and it's like, oh, I really enjoyed that. You know, I kind of like that more. But when I really step back and think about it, yeah, for sure. It's, you know, like most sequels, it's not as good as the first one.
Yeah.
And as you're saying, and this genre in particular, but I think across just about every genre, the second one's never as good as the first one, because the first one is, it's been written in whoever was writing its head probably for like years, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're rewriting it in their mind, if not literally for years before they actually make the film. And then unless the sequel was planned all along, which I don't think was the case in this one, you're writing it in a more compressed time period and you're like making it work based on what you did the first time. Right. And so it's always, I think the sequel, it's always a little bit harder because of that. But that said, I thought it was really good. I liked it.
Yeah, no, that's true. I did enjoy it. Like I liked the movie, you know, like I had a good time watching it, but I think for me, it almost felt, cause obviously, you know, you're going to compare it to the first one, right? Just like with any movie that's a sequel or like part of a franchise or anything like that, you're going to compare it to the other movie or other movies. And I feel like it, there was almost like a tone shift. Like obviously it's still horror, but like it was almost like a tone and genre shift within it where it's like, it was a very different movie. Cause like, you know, the first movie, you're almost the entire movie, you're trapped in a basement with Finney. You know, like for most of the movie, you're in the space with Finney and there's a creepy kidnapper we don't know much about that kind of comes in and out, you know? And then, yeah, we'll spend some time with his sister as she, you know, has the dreams and such and like that. But for the most part, you're kind of just in this little basement. You don't really know what's going on. But in this movie, it's like, well, you can't do that again. You can't just do the same thing. The grabber's dead. You know, it's like, so how are you going to use the grabber who is dead as the villain without, you know, his whole thing was capturing people and locking them in a basement, you know? So it's like, it's, you have to change it up.
Yeah.
Like you, there's no choice but to switch up what's going on and, you know, change things. I think it's pretty clear that there was not originally a sequel planned. This was originally a standalone. This was they were not going to make a franchise off this, you know?
But everything you said, I think that they did a good job in how they shifted.
Yeah.
And how they adapted to make the second one.
Mm-hmm.
So this one takes place, it's 4 years later.
Yeah.
So, you know, the kid, you know, Finney and his sister Gwen, they're 4 years older. They're having, you know, Finney's like having problems now because, you know, obviously he's got all this trauma from, you know, being abducted and locked in a basement and having to kill this guy.
He's smoking, getting in fights, getting in trouble.
Exactly. And then Gwen kind of becomes the main protagonist in this story, which I thought was a slightly interesting shift, but also I think kind of a good idea, for what they were trying to do. And she starts like having these dreams again, right? But now they're like, I don't know, they're making her like sleepwalk and go do like all this crazy stuff, right?
They're like, I don't know what the word would be, but they're almost like, I don't know what word I would use, but you could almost think about them. They're almost like Nightmare on Elm Street type dreams where it's like she's seeing these things and like they're almost like really happening. And they're like actually like she's taking things out of the dream. Like when she steps on some blood, well, when she comes back, there's blood on her feet. Right. So, you know, it's like kind of like only like in, yeah, in Nightmare on Elm Street when like they get scratched, they get burned on a pipe while they're sleeping or something like that. And then it's like, they wake up and like, oh, I have this burn. It wasn't just a dream. And it's like that. It's like, that's kind of what's going on. It's like things like that where they're kind of seeing, oh, okay. So this is not just a dream. This is a special dream where there's like things happening to her in her dream, you know? And you can see a lot of inspiration from Nightmare on Elm Street in this movie,
yes,
which I think is a good thing because it doesn't feel like they're copying it, but like they took a lot of the ideas and kind of twisted it up and kind of did their own thing with it.
Yeah, I like how they did that, right? Because it was almost like a nod to it without feeling like they're copying it, right?
Yeah.
But they're still like using some cool things from it.
Mm-hmm. And they do go to a summer camp that's like snowed in, you know? So I think it's kind of cool too. It's like, that's almost a nod to Friday the 13th, even though it's a frozen lake and it's a summer camp that has snow everywhere. It's kind of a similar, we're in a little camp and there's counselors and there's like the people who run the camp, you know, like things like that. So that was kind of also I think maybe a nod to that as well.
Yeah. So she's having these dream sequences, right? And they end up leading her, she goes back to that house where the black phone was, right?
Yeah.
And she gets this phone call from a girl at this lake, this Alpine Lake or whatever the place was, saying that she's at this summer camp. And so then she like, you know, looks it up or, you know, whatever.
Well, she sees it. She finds out that it's her mom, but like her mom when she was young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then they want to go there. Like she wants to go there because she wants to check it out because she's having like these more intense dreams, right? Mm-hmm. She's like, I got to go figure out what's going on. She's seeing these kids running through the woods, getting hacked up and whatever, right? So they end up at the summer camp with, you know, so it's Finney, it's Gwen, and then we meet Robin's little brother who's Gwen's age.
Yeah.
So Robin was the, like Finney's friend who was abducted and killed right before Finney was abducted in the first one. And so these three end up at the summer camp, but they're snowed in, or it's not summer camp, but it's a camp, right? They're snowed
in. Yeah, some kind of camp, yeah.
And none of the, like they canceled all the kids coming, but these guys, they didn't get a hold of these three, right? Mm-hmm. So they came to be counselors. They couldn't get a hold of them. So they just show up and now they're at this camp and there's a phone booth there. And so then you're at this camp and then that's kind of where the story like really starts to sort of speed up, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we actually didn't really touch on it in the podcast for the first one, but I really liked Robin's character as well in the first movie. I thought that the actor, who was clearly pretty young, I thought he did a great job with the character. And
yeah, he was a cool character.
He was very like, I don't know. Yeah, he was very cool. And he just kind of felt like a real person. Like you could almost like, I know somebody like that, you know? And usually those people
he's always looking out for Finney.
Yeah. Like somebody's looking out for the underdog, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I do like that you meet his brother. I thought that was a good creative choice. And I like how there's, you know, he kind of likes Gwen and I like how, even though Finney seems to kind of resent it, I like how he does almost have a little bit of like a bond with him where it's like, he is kind of like, you know, it was his best friend's little brother, he's kind of looking out for him, you know, like he's kind of like looking out for him in a type of way where, because his little brother's not like how he was, like his little brother's kind of nerdy, kind of like how Finney used to be, you know?
Yeah. And Robin's the reason Finney survived.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. The reason he survived the black phone and the reason he wasn't always getting beat up all the time because he was protecting them and stuff. And now Finney has kind of become a lot more like Robin where he's kind of, you know, he's getting in some fights and stuff and he's kind of like, he even quotes him at the beginning of the movie where he was in a fight with somebody and he talks about how, you know, more blood is better in like a situation like that because you want to prove a point, you know, you want to like make it known what your point is there.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah. I really liked Gwen's character in this one. I thought the way that they developed her from the first one, where she was obviously, she's more of a side character in the first one, right? Mm-hmm. She's got some visions that kind of help the police, but it was clear that like Finney was the, you know, he's the main character. In this one, it's more focused on Gwen, even though like Finney's a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked her character. I like how she was, you know, she's a little older now. She's like 15, I think.
Yeah.
She's kind of mouthy. So they're at this like Christian camp.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And she's having, you know, these nightmares and these like, but these like involved nightmares that are also like mixed in with reality. Right.
Yeah.
And like the people, the adults running the camp think she's just freaking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, she's kind of mouthy with them. And of course, like this is a Christian camp. So they're like, you know, like offended by this. Yeah, I'm not used to like kids acting like this. But I just like how her character had grown.
Yeah, I do too. Something else I like is I like how they don't spend a lot of time at the camp of being like, oh, I don't believe you. You're lying. Yeah, like, I'm glad that they didn't have like a whole thing of that, because that would have just been draining. I'm glad that that's kind of an older thing in movies, and it seems like we're moving past that point for horror, because that's something that like is in like every other horror movie. It seems like from like the 80s, 90s, 2000s, where it's like a character's like, they come with all this evidence of like, this is the crazy thing is happening. And they're like, no, it's not happening. It's like, we spend like a good 45 minutes of everybody's being in denial. And then for like the last 20 minutes, you're like, oh my God, you were right. And then everybody dies. And it's just like, okay, like it kind of gets old when you do that every time. So I'm glad that basically they told him like, listen, like our mom used to go here. And he's like, oh, your mom? Like I knew your mom, you know, like I know who that is, you know? And they're like, well, listen, this is what happened last year. Well, actually, I guess they didn't even have to do that, because when Gwen is in her dream, the grabber attacks her. And it's funny because he can talk to Finney on the phone and then be in, you know, we didn't even set up the grabber. So the grabber is basically like not dead, I guess. Well, he is dead, but like
he's like stuck.
He's
like
stuck.
The kids were, and the boys that he abducted in the first movie were like, they were stuck, right? Like they can't settle or whatever, move on to the next phase, wherever they're going, right?
Yeah. His spirit's not at rest, and he's like, he's an unrest spirit, and he's basically, he talks to Finn on the phone and he tells him like, you know, you made me kill my brother. Then he killed me, and I want to hurt you in the worst way that I can. I want to make you feel like your defense is like, you can't do anything, that was his whole idea in the first movie, was he wants him to feel like he can't do anything. Like he's defenseless. Like you can just take advantage of him. And he said, the way I'm going to do that, I'm going to kill your sister. You know, I'm going to kill your sister. Nothing you can do about it. So I'm killing her in the dream. What are you going to do? You know? And so then in Gwen's dream, he comes in, he just starts like just beating her up. And most of the scene, you actually don't see from the dream perspective, but you see from everybody else's perspective. Everybody at the camp is sitting there in the kitchen as Gwen's body is like floating around, getting slammed into the wall. Knives are flying. Utensils are flying everywhere. She's about to get thrown into the oven. And like, everybody's like grabbing her, trying to pull her this way so that like the invisible force isn't like taking her. And then all of that happens. And then they're able to kind of wake her up. And then I thought it was really well done how he like maneuvered around the dreams too. Like when he shows up, he's like still on the phone with Finney, but like he shows up in her dream and just kind of like comes out of the shadows, and he kind of like kind of comes out like with his like hands up and like his like the grin. And then when he like fades away, he kind of just like fades into like the shadows in the back. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. That was a really good, really good artistic choice how they did that. I like that too. Yeah. He just kind of fades in and out.
I definitely think this movie is arguably more like scary than the first one.
I thought
like,
so too.
Like the dream sequences are a little bit more unsettling. And honestly, I feel like there's a little bit more like uncertainty on what's going to happen. Like you don't really know what's happening. So in the first one, it was kind of like, all right, well, we know the restriction. We know what's going on, right? Like we know that he can only get Finney in person, obviously, right? Like he has to come down here and get him. So like you can watch the door and it's like, all right, well, we know he's coming this way. In the dream, it's just like, well, every time she goes to sleep, oh my God, that sound the alarm. We don't know what's going to happen, right? We have to wake her up. You know,
we just know it's going to be uncomfortable to watch, right?
Like, yeah.
You know, like as soon as she's going to bed, you're like, oh shit. Like now, yeah. Like, yeah, no, we're about to have some dream sequences. It's going to be scary. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that they did a good job with that. And I like, so what I was leading into before, since everybody sees that, they don't have to spend the time like, oh no, I don't believe it. Like, everybody believes it because you just saw it. Right. And so it's like, okay, so this clearly something's going on. Now, one lady is talking about, oh, no, that's she's a demon in her. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh,
right. Because it's right. A Christian camp. And yeah. So they're, you know, yeah. And so that's her first reaction is that, yeah, she's possessed. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that's what's going on. And yeah. Thankfully, like the camp,
the head leader, the camp director, whatever.
Like he's just basically like, no.
Let's hear her out. Like, yeah, let's see what's
and
going
they
on.
Actually, they sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk through it.
Yeah.
And to him, he's like he buys in. Right. Yeah. And so they all kind of like start to buy in a little bit.
Because she starts telling him things that nobody knew, like things about how the kids died. And it turns out those kids were kids at this camp.
Yeah.
And he's like, how did you know?
20 years before.
Yeah. He's like, how did you know that? Like those kids went to this camp. I'm still trying to find their body to this day. And then he pulls up a picture and they're like, wait a minute. That's the grabber. That's what he looks like, you know? And I thought
it
that was
like a worker at the camp.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I like that. I like how they kind of just, it. I like that they rushed what in most movies would be like 30 to 40 minutes. They put it in like 5 minutes. And it was just like, okay, so everybody believes us except one person. Right. And we're able to kind of piece this together. Like, okay, so this connects. So we know what's going on. Let's go hunt for these bodies. We know they must be in the ice around here. Right. Like then we know they must be buried somewhere around here. The only place we haven't checked is the ice.
Yeah. Now there was, would they have like, was it the second night that they had that where she interacted with the grabber?
Yes.
Because
it was
there
the
was the first night. Like yeah. they didn't rush it.
Yeah. They didn't rush it.
They got there quickly, but in a way that didn't feel too rushed because there was the first night there where she's seeing some of these things, right? She's seeing the kids again and they're like crawling out from under the bed and they're freaking her out and they're, you know, all this like scary stuff is happening.
Yeah.
And they don't like all the camp people don't necessarily like understand what's going on. They don't tell them what she's going through.
Yeah. They don't
right?
talk about it.
They just know that she's like, she slept with the boys that night because she was obviously scared to go sleep in the boys' cabin.
And Finney does get a call from the grabber too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they don't necessarily talk about it. And then it's the next night, I think, she ends up, he's on the phone again. She ends up in that, like, in the kitchen and going through all that. So they, like, get there quickly, but it didn't feel crazy rushed where you missed something and they forced it. It felt like a natural flow. It was just a quick flow that allowed the rest of the movie then to move forward.
Yeah. So I really like that. This is something about the first movie I just thought of. It doesn't really have anything to do with the second one, but something about his mask in the first movie is that he was very attached to it. You know, like that was something he was very attached to. And he, like when he's in that final scene where he's fighting with Finney, when Finney like knocks his mask off, he screams and then he reaches for his, like he screams and he completely loses focus on attacking Finney and reaches for the mask. And it's like, it's almost like he has that multiple personality thing of like he's not able to like put into perspective what he's doing from his normal self. So he puts on the mask and it's somebody different. It's not him. You know, it's somebody, it's the grabber that's doing it, you know, that kind of thing. So I guess that's one thing you could kind of look at in this where like when you see him, he always has his mask. Even though it's like, well, this is not a physical form. This is in the dream. He always has the mask on and he's in control of it. Not them. It's not like they're imagining him with the mask. He's putting himself in with the mask. So like, I guess it is kind of connected to this movie because it's like a part of him, you know, like he's, and he kind of talked about that. Actually, he said, when you go to hell, all of the goodness that's in you is gone. Like it's just the bad that's left. And so he's a lot more confident, I feel like, in this movie.
Yeah,
like
for sure.
He comes
didn't have
across
that, like, weirdo, kind of quirky.
Yeah.
Sometimes he almost seems like he's being nice. He didn't have any of those elements. He was just like pure evil in this movie.
It was just the mask. It was just the violence. It was just the anger. And I thought that was kind of cool. And I thought it kind of made it like, because you couldn't really do the other stuff. Like you kind of have to have it be like, no, now he's just like this vengeful spirit out to get everybody.
It was a cool development of his character.
Yeah.
You've got a character that died in the first movie and yet you still like grew the character in some way, right? Like he still developed from the first movie to the second movie in that way. And I thought that's a pretty cool kind of take on it.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah. So then they go like digging in the ice and stuff and trying to find the bodies, and they didn't find any, you know, they're still looking. But one thing, so I don't know how I feel about this completely, but one thing that is now decided, because Gwen has another nightmare, she sees the grabber, and in the nightmare, the grabber goes to the lake, the one that the head camp director is at. Well, he's still out there looking for the boys. Nobody else is. And he runs up behind him and he like pushes him in the ocean. And so he get pushed in the ocean in real life, but it's like, hold on a second. So that kind of confused me a little bit, because now I'm a little bit confused. Are her dreams dreams, or are they, she can see what's going on in the real world and interact with it, but it's like on a different plane. But then what doesn't make sense about it is that it's like, it's on a different plane, but then he can interact with other people while he's in the dream and she can't. How does he get that power, but then she doesn't? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's able to interact with her in the dream and he can attack people in the real world. But she, when she's in the dream, can only interact with him. Now, she can interact with things, but like her, like she can't interact with people.
It's definitely a good point in how they definitely changed it from the first movie, right?
Yeah.
Because if these boys in the first movie had been allowed to interact, they for sure would have like helped kill him.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so no, that's like, different. That's his telephone.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. That wasn't the dream sequence. Okay. So that is different then. It is interesting. I mean, she interacts with him and she interacts with things in the dream.
Mm-hmm.
We never see her interact with people, but we don't know that she can't.
Yeah, I guess that's true. We don't know that she can't, but I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that, because that's something I kind of like about Freddy, where it's like there are restrictions on his dream control. Like it's like he has all the power in the world inside the dream, but then you drag him into the real world. Like if they like, you know, like they grab him and then bring him out into the world. But he's just like a burned up dude. Like he's just can't do anything, you know, like he's just
a guy. But they were consistent. They were consistent with it. Like, so yeah. When we first see him attacking her in the kitchen, you know, he's interacting with things in the kitchen and everyone else can see him interacting with these things. Right. So like he seems to have that capability throughout the entire movie. So I don't feel like they were inconsistent, which is good.
It's not that it's inconsistent, but it's like, if he has the ability to just kill anybody he wants while he's in her dream, why doesn't he do that? Like, why in the kitchen? Why did he not just throw her down on the ground and then go like hack up everybody standing there bewildered and then go attack her? Because then there's nobody to stop him, right? Like, and that's kind of a question I have, is like, so why are you like, well, I'm going to push him in the ocean. Now he's in the water. Now he's going to freeze. Why didn't you just kill the guy?
Well,
right? Like,
I mean, I think,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, but you could say that about a lot of horror movies, right? I think there's the psychological element that he wants to make Finney suffer, right?
Yes. But it still is one of those things that now, like, I actually didn't really think about that before, but now that I'm thinking about it, you gave this guy this huge power and you're telling me he's not going to abuse it. You know what I mean? Like, why doesn't he just kill?
But he didn't really have anything against those other people. You know, his whole thing is Finney, right? Like he's always after these little boys.
That's true.
So even when he was at the camp and he attacked and killed these little boys, like they were these little boys. And then the kids that he kidnaps as the grabber, they're all these little boys.
Yeah.
So he's always after the young boys, and that's who he's really after. While he's like tormenting Gwen,
he's doing it to Finney.
Exactly. Yeah. He doesn't care about Gwen.
That's
and he views the camp director. He attacks the camp director because the camp director is out there on the lake. He's digging in the ice and they're trying to find these boys. And we find out later in the movie that when they find the boys, he loses some of his power
because their spirits are at rest.
Exactly. And so that's the fear of the victims is what's giving him the fear of the unrested villain or victims is what's giving him this power. And so when they find the bodies and free the bodies, he starts losing his power. And so that's, I think, why he attacks the camp director.
Yeah. I guess that's true, because he probably doesn't get satisfaction from just killing people. Like, it's specifically, he gets satisfaction from killing little boys. Like, that's right. That's his thing. So I guess that kind of makes sense. But I guess, yeah, it was just something that kind of threw me off there for a minute. But so I think next up would be where he shows her in her dream. And this is actually something I didn't like. We kind of talked about this a little bit. So he shows her, he basically tells her, like, I'm going to kill you. Like, this is the last dream, right? Like, I'm going to kill you. But before I do that, I'm going to give you a little gift. You know, I'm going to show you this. And he shows her, like, I guess all these years ago, back in the first grabbing thing, her mom had a vision, had a dream about the first boy that he grabbed. And she went to the house and she saw him there in the basement through the window. And then when she tried to leave, the grabber grabbed her. And then he went to their house and hung her and made it look like she killed herself, which was, like, you know, a thing in the first movie. And I actually do not like that they did that. I thought, while it was fine and it doesn't make the movie bad, because there was a connection with them, I guess, because, you know, she had the dream, so she might see things like that. Or they were at the camp together, right? Like, they both were at the camp at the same time. But it kind of was like an over complication of things. Like, you've added this extra big thread of connection. Like, well, oh my God, it turns out that he actually killed their mom. Oh my God. It's like, I don't like that. I don't like that it added that extra. I kind of liked in the first movie that there was no connection. We don't know anything about this guy, and he has no reason to grab Finny. He's just grabbing boys. He's just grabbing little boys and he's tormenting them because it's just fun for his game. And even though that still is true, because he didn't know it was their kid, right? He didn't know until, like, you know, he was dead and then could, like, put the pieces together, I guess. But I still don't like it, because I still feel like it, like, kind of just messes that up. Like, it messes up the randomness of, like the strangers, right? The reason the strangers is so good is because these three serial killers are just there, and they just kill. They're just tormenting this family, not family, but this couple, because they happen to be there. No reason, no connection. And I think that's so much scarier and, like, more realistic than, like, well, it actually turns out that there's a connection between the mom and the killer, and they went to camp together, and they're actually, it turns out that he faked her death and made it look like she killed herself, which then actually created a negative toxic household relationship. It's like all of these, like, events leading down, and, like, domino effect is just, I don't like that. It's too much, you know?
Yeah, it was interesting how they did the mom piece of it, right? And brought her in, because she was a huge figure throughout the movie. I mean, she's the one who calls on the phone, because, you know, she's the one who calls on the black phone that gets the daughter to want to go to the camp to begin with. And then, yeah, like you had said, and then you find out she was a counselor there, and when all this stuff happened.
Yeah.
I think they probably felt like they had to do that, because the only way she would be able to communicate through that phone is if she's not at rest.
Yeah.
And, well, I guess they could have said, well, she's not at rest because she committed suicide. That's one way.
Yeah.
But I think not at rest, but tied in with the grabber, is also, like, its own, you know, that, like, kind of firms up that connection a little bit. But there's definitely some holes there, right? Like, why wouldn't she have called her son when he was locked in the basement?
Yeah.
Right. Like, there's, it raises lots of questions. Now, obviously, like, she didn't do that because they didn't think about, they weren't planning to make the sequel.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so obviously that's why she didn't do it in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
When they made the first one, she killed herself.
Yeah.
It was when they made the second one, they decided, well, we could kind of, like, tie these pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they may have almost felt forced to somehow make a connection so that they could evolve the story to the lake like that, which I'm willing to give him a pass on that. You're right. It was a little bit, like, it's a little bit more than what was necessary. Like, it just seemed weird, but I also could understand if they felt like they had to figure out a way to tie her in with what was going on.
See, but then I actually disagree with you. I can't give a pass on that, because I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, if you really couldn't come up with it, then you didn't have to make a sequel. You know, like, you, if you couldn't come up with a good idea, you never had to make this movie to begin with, right? Like, the first one ended on a perfect note.
It didn't have to be the mom.
It didn't have to be a mom. That's another thing, too.
It could have just been some girl who was a counselor.
Yeah. It did not have to be a mom that, like...
And then you wouldn't have had to do any of that. Mm-hmm. It would have been easier.
And honestly, I feel like it kind of... It almost takes away, not necessarily from the first movie, but it takes away... Because I kind of liked how there was, like, you know, like the idea was first established by the father where it's like, oh, you know, your mother, she had these dreams too. She went crazy and she killed herself. And honestly, that gives me a fear where it's like, okay, so this is what happened, right? She had the same kind of dreams as Gwen and she killed herself. And for Gwen, that's probably really scary because like, oh my God, what if I get to that point, right? Like that's really scary. And that's something that she talks about throughout this movie that she's afraid of. Like, am I going crazy? Am I going, you know, like, is she going to end up like her mom? Right. Like, and having that connection kind of like takes that away. Like that no longer is like a fear I have for Gwen because now the mom told her it's actually a gift. It's not a curse. Okay. Like, you know, it's like, it takes away this fear that was there that was actually a very like realistic one where it's like, yeah, I mean, somebody who has these kind of visions and dreams might go crazy because like, that's probably really traumatic to go to sleep every night and see like gruesome murders, you know, like,
right.
So I don't know. I feel like it just kind of like, it was unnecessary and I didn't like it. I thought it was a bad decision and it kind of like, I don't know, kind of threw me off. But then they bounce back pretty quick, I feel like, with like, then they pretty quickly establish like, you know what? She's like, I have power in my dream. It's my dream. And then she like blows up the telephone booth. And that's kind of the climax where it's like, now she's realizing I have power. You know, like you're not the only one of power here. And now he has a frown on his face. And now his mask turned to the frown. Now he's not happy, which I think it was funny. It was like, oh yeah, there he goes. There's the frown. But it's not as good as the first one because the first one, it was like he's manually switching this out for like there was deeper meaning. There was a story behind it. There was a purpose. And now it's just like, well, but now he's just mad.
He's a,
you know,
but
like,
he's a ghost, right? So he can, yeah. He's still switching it out to some degree.
No, I know what you mean, but it's just, it's not as, it wasn't as impactful right. as the first one.
Yeah, the first one, it was scary. Like, it was its own character. This one, yeah. it's a cool element to his character.
Yeah.
But it's no longer like its own little character in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about her getting the power in the dreams, like that was necessary for the climax to occur and for them mm-hmm. to be able to end the movie the way that they did.
Yeah.
But the one drawback to it is like those dream sequences throughout the movie, those were scary.
Yeah.
They were really suspenseful and mm-hmm. the images were creepy, like the dead boys and like,
yeah,
they did a really good job with that. And those were the scariest parts of the movie. Mm-hmm. Once she recognizes that she has power, there was nothing scary from that point on. You know what I mean? Like there yeah. was still suspense, right? So then it became more like a suspenseful kind of thriller a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Because he's still trying to kill these people.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no like fear because yeah. you knew she had power now, right? So it was yeah. like they took away the scare element. Now, you know, for them to like end the movie the way that they wanted to end the movie, like they had to do that. So it was a necessity, yeah. but it definitely like as an audience member, like it took all the fear out of it for me.
Yeah. And you know, now the gang's all here, right? Like everybody's on the ice. They're all getting the bodies out. They're finding the bodies and stuff. And then Gwen goes to sleep and she realizes she has to go to sleep. Right. So then they can confront him and he'll come out and that'll help in some way, him coming out. I forget how, but some way that made it easier for her to find the bodies and put in the rest, all that stuff. Right. But I don't know if I think I might've said it. Even the dad's here now. Everybody in the cast is here now helping out on the ice to find stuff. And he's the grabber's here. And you know, he's kind of like sliding around the ice. He's kind of maneuvering. He like scratches somebody on the head. He's like, he's doing that stuff. It was the lady that didn't believe her because she was like super Christian, believed a demon in her husband. He like scratched them both, kind of like cut them. But honestly, I was a little bit disappointed by that. I was like, that's the best you can do.
He just scratched them?
He just scratched them.
But again, like he's not after them, right?
I know, but honestly, I was thinking, dude, your whole thing is fear. If you can establish fear, it gives you power.
I don't know. I think that'd be pretty scary. Is you can't see this thing sliding around on the ice, but you see his like skate marks.
Yeah.
Right?
I
you
like
see
that.
Those, and then you see people like getting injured. Like that's
But you would, know what's more scary than injury? Scary. Is like a limb coming off, or like,
sure.
Yeah. Like, you know,
like
made
the
it
head
more.
Gets stuck. Like that, that's where I thought they were going with it. And I was like, whoa, that's going to be cool.
But,
you know, like,
but then he becomes like every other horror movie.
I don't
slasher.
Think so.
Like, because he's not just killing the little boys.
There's a reason for it though. It's not because he's just like every other slasher. He's doing it to establish fear, which is his power right now. Like that's what he needs. And he's losing it. He knows he's losing that. That's why he's freaking out. That's why he's attacking so violently now, because he can't play the game anymore. Because if he keeps playing, then he's going to lose the power he has with those boys. They're finding the boys, you know? And so I feel like it would make sense for his character in that moment to be like, all right, well, let me establish some new fear. Let me go chop up these people. They didn't have to kill him, but just like, more than like a scratch, like, you know, like cut a limb off, cut, like do something drastic where it's like, oh,
or at
God,
least like a really,
you know,
deep like gash or something.
Yeah. Something where it's like, oh my God. Like that's like now we're really on edge. Everybody watch out. Like this is dangerous. You know, like that would have been, I would have liked that more. I feel like it would have added more, because honestly, another thing is, other than those boys that we see, I'm other than the boys, we don't see ever any deaths on screen. Other than the boys in the past, we never see
a death
on screen.
See all the boys die in this one.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, just the three.
Through her dream elements.
The three
yeah.
We see them die. Well, we don't even see them die. We see the aftermath of their death. We see like the right before, and then we see like the aftermath.
We see
of
like yeah, you're yeah. right. But like you're
right.
You don't yeah. actually like see it, but you kind of see it. You know yeah. exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah. And that was something where it's like, well, in the first one, there wasn't a lot of death. It was okay, because it was like, well, yeah, this is just a guy. It's just a kidnapper. And at a kidnapper, he's kidnapping little boys. Like, this guy sucks. Like there's this guy, I can guarantee this guy's going to lose a fist fight against a guy, right? Like, he's not going to kill anybody unless it's a little defenseless child. But now this guy has dream powers. He has the powers of fear. Nobody can see him. Nobody can touch him. You know, it's like that. He should be using his advantage. Like, he should be using that to now strike down these people who could prevent him from getting what his goal is. Right. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I think we just kind of disagree on that one. I feel like it's okay because he's still stuck to like his victim identity was not those people. They were just in the way, you know, and he was still, you know, Finney was scared.
Yeah.
Right. Like, as the stuff
everybody
going
was.
On.
Yeah.
So,
everybody.
Yeah. I mean,
they're still,
still creating this fear element.
Yeah.
I will say one part about that whole scene, the visual element of him kind of skating through the fog on this ice and coming
that
at
was
you.
Cool.
That was awesome. And they show that in the trailer too.
Yeah. I really like the way that they did that. And the dream sequences when he appears, it's like, it's so well done. It's like, he doesn't just like show up.
Just gradually, it's like, it's what you were talking about earlier.
He comes
gradually
in through
in.
Like the smoke. He comes in through the shadows, and it's like you hear him before you see him. And like,
yeah.
I like that. I thought it was really well done. I thought it was really cool. All of the dream sequences are well done. They're all creative.
How,
cool.
What do you think about like the when they went into the dream sequence? You knew it was a dream sequence because
it's like a grainy VHS filter. Yeah, I like
this
that
grainy,
a lot.
Old school.
That's part of what made it scary was that it was like this VHS like found footage looking type of like. Film that's way scarier than just like
sure.
yeah, and that's why a lot of those like the series VHS. You know, that's why a lot of those movies are kind of freaky, is because it's like you're watching it through the lens of not just a movie, but like a VHS found footage movie. So it's like, even though you know it's not really found footage, it feels like a lot more real because the way it's set up is to look like this is a video coming off of your phone, not like this is a Hollywood movie you're seeing on the big screen, you know?
And after you have some of those dream sequences like we do, and they're creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they go to that, it builds suspense and you feel it as an audience member. Like they start, you know, she falls asleep and it starts getting grainy. You feel it. You're like, oh boy, you know, you don't know exactly what's going to happen, but you can feel their fear building a little bit. And I thought that was really cool. It was them adding that element added more fear to the rest of the entire movie. Once you've seen it once or twice already, you're like, oh, some things are coming.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I do like how they end up killing him. I forget exactly how everything happened, but like, I like how
Well, I like Finney kills him again.
Finney kills him again. I like that. I like that Finney got to kill him again. I forget exactly what it was that made Finney realize where he was, but I think he could see the scratches. And then, so obviously they can all interact with each other. They just can't see him. I like how he was skating towards Gwen. He was going to kill Gwen. And then out of nowhere, one of like the skeletons of the boys grabs his foot, because now they found all the boys. They're free souls now. They're free spirits. And so they're grabbing him. They're stopping him. They're slowing him down. They have him pinned down on the ice. He can't move. And Finney sees that, and he comes over and he grabs like what is like his hair in his head. And he like whispers, I forget what he whispered in his ear, but he whispered like this line in his ear. It was like, oh, that's so cool, you know? And then he just starts like slamming it, just bashing his face against the ice. Just over and over and over again, just bashing his face to the ice. And it was like, that's so cool. Like, that was really satisfying that, like, Finney is getting to have this moment again where it's like, he's not afraid anymore.
He's a you different know, like, Finney now, right? He's older. Now. He's 17. Yeah. He's bigger. He's mm-hmm. stronger.
Yeah.
He knows how to fight now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, now he kills him in a very different way, right?
Yeah.
And he starts slamming his head because now he's capable. And like you said, now he's not afraid.
And yeah, that was his way of breaking off that fear, because he still kind of had that fear, right? That's why he was so angry all the time, because he had that fear in the back of his head. But now this is his way of getting over that fear, where it's like he gets to kill this guy again and he gets to protect his sister, which means that, you know, like this is, he can protect his sister. He doesn't have to worry about her, right? And he can protect himself. So that was
the grabber told him, like, that
yeah,
no, was
I, that's
his,
what I said earlier. Yeah.
That was his fear.
Yeah.
Was not being able to protect his sister. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So that was cool. And then you kind of see the skeletons of the boys, like, drag them down into the depths of the water. Although I feel like they did that because they wanted to leave room open for a potential other sequel. But again, I don't see how you could really make one.
Yeah, I hope they don't. I don't think they would. I don't know.
I feel like they didn't kill him on screen. If you don't kill somebody on screen, I mean, even if you kill somebody on screen, they can still make a sequel. So
yeah,
yeah.
I mean, my least favorite part about the mom was at the end of the movie.
Yeah,
she calls him, but it's for Gwen. She calls Gwen through the phone, right? And she's talking to her. And she's saying she doesn't have much time. And then like Robin's there. And it just felt a little bit to me like, one, a little hokey, like we don't need that. No one did that in the first movie. These boys didn't like call. But then there's a little bit like, how was she able to make this call? Because I thought part of it was that they weren't at rest.
Yeah, that was always the impression I got too.
So like how is she able to make this phone call? Now she's calling from heaven, like, and then like Robin's there. Well, she must be in heaven. I mean, that's the impression you get, is like she's in heaven now.
Yeah, yeah. She said it's beautiful and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But all the other phone calls, they were like in between, right?
Yeah.
They were like stuck.
Yeah.
So that part was a little bit like, I felt it was a little bit unnecessary, like to have her call. Like, yes, it's a nice, sweet little ending to the movie, but I don't know that that's necessary. And I liked how in the first one, there was no sweet ending. Like, yes, he survives. And yes, his dad like is there. And like, you can tell his dad feels like, oh my God, I almost lost my kid. Right. And
you
can see him like wanting to be a better father, but it was a different ending. You don't know what's going to happen. This is like a happy, you know, wrap everything up, tie it in a bow kind of ending. And I just felt like that was maybe not needed.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it was, I don't know. It was a weird ending. I don't think it needed to end like that. I feel like that was kind of like forced in, and it was just kind of like, yeah, there was really no reason for that. But I don't know.
So how would you compare? I mean, we talked a little bit about this at the beginning about how you compare this one to the first one. I mean, this one's scarier.
Yeah.
I don't think the story's as good.
It's not, no.
Yeah. It's definitely entertaining. There's a lot of good action throughout. So, like, it's a really good quality movie. It's got more action and more scares than the first one had. But the first one, I think, was a better story overall.
I like the first one a lot more. And also, part of why I like the first one a lot more, too, and this might not be fair to this movie, but something I think you got to look at when you look at a sequel is, what does it do for not for every movie, right? Like, again, you look at a Friday the 13th, right? Now, I love Friday the 13th movies, but a lot of those movies, I mean, sometimes they build on each other a little bit. Like, they'll have like, oh, this is a reoccurring character. This guy was in the last one, you know, like, oh my God, we see him again. But a lot of times it's just kind of like, all right, here's the next movie. Here's the next set of victims Jason's going to kill. You know, it's like, that's like the reoccurring thing. But for a movie like this, where it's not that, where it is like a story-driven movie, the sequel better enhance the movie, right? Like, if you're going to make a sequel to it, especially one that closed off so perfectly like the first one did, if you're going to make a sequel to it, I want it to enhance the story and make it better. And I don't think it did that. In fact, I think it made it, well, I don't think it made it worse. I don't think it negatively impacted the first movie, but I don't like the changes with the mom. I thought that was weak. The thing with the phone, then again, it was kind of like, all right, so what's the rules with the phone? What's exactly going on here? I don't know. It also, like, the whole idea that, like, the spirits can, like, if there's a spirit that's not at rest, it can, like, attack people and do that. Then it's kind of like, all right, well, then why did none of the spirits in the first movie jump in?
Okay, so that one I can excuse, because I could say the boys were just not at rest. They hadn't reached anywhere yet.
Yeah. He was in hell. That's true.
I think that's where you could say it's different, yeah. Right?
Although then I also have a little bit of a question where it's like, all right, so if you go to hell, do you just have free roam on the world? You can just terrorize everybody? Like, how did that work exactly? Like, what exactly? I don't know.
Yeah.
That,
how did he? Yeah.
Yeah. I forget.
How was he still able to come back? I don't think they addressed that.
I don't think they addressed it. If they did, it was very short. They didn't mention it ever again. But I don't know. I don't think the movie was bad, but I think comparing it to the first one takes it down a notch. And I think when you look at it from that perspective of like, did it enhance? I don't think it did at all. And I think it changed some things I didn't like that it changed. So I don't know.
Yeah. I agree with what you just said. I think I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was good. If you're going to do a sequel, you got to do it the way that they did it.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the setting. They changed the plot of the whole thing. Like, everything evolved into something more. And I thought that was well done for a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. Some of the things that they changed, I think it's mostly the mom. Honestly,
that's
I think
the biggest thing for me,
the
too.
The only piece for me that takes away from the first is the mom. Because when I go watch the first one again now I've seen this and I know what happened to the mom, it does make it a little different for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it doesn't take a lot away from the first one. I can still watch the first one and really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But that's the only piece where I feel like they really kind of messed up was the integration of the mom and her with the grabber.
Yeah.
All right. So how are you scoring this thing?
I feel like
we gave the first one a 9, right?
Yeah.
I think we were both like at a 9 on this on the first one.
I feel like a 7 because I don't think it's bad. Like, that's the thing. I don't think it's a bad movie. I don't know. I feel like it's hard because sometimes I look at like ratings as like, oh, well, if it's not a 7 or above, that means it's bad. But that's not really true because if it's a 6, it's not bad. You know, it's just in the middle. So I feel like almost like a 6.5 to 7, like through there, because I think it's a good movie. And I really like visually what they did a lot. I thought it was really good. I thought it had some good scary parts, had some good gore effects when they were showing those boys and stuff. The acting again was really great. Although the acting was really great, but that's another thing I kind of missed was we didn't get to spend as much time with Ethan Hawke as the grabber. We didn't get to see his ability like we did in the first movie. And even though it's not a fault of the movie, it's just like, it's the thing I'm missing. Like that was part of what I loved about the first movie. And now it's not there, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think 6.5 to 7, I think right around that tier. You know, if it was on like a, what are those? If it was like on like a ranking list, it'd be like a high C or low B, you know, something like that, where I think it's good, but I don't think it's great. Like, I would probably watch it again, but I'm not like in any like great desire to, you know?
Yeah. So I'm going to go a little higher. I go an 8, and it's not as good as the first one. But it was really entertaining. I walked out of there and I was like, I really liked that movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if that movie was, if I had not seen the first one, I would still have really liked that movie.
That's true.
So
That's
to
true.
Me, like, it was super entertaining. And if you are going to do a sequel. I feel like they did a great job with that. I feel like my only complaints are some of the tie-ins with the first. Mm-hmm. And while I think that does take away a little bit, the movie on its own, I think, is actually a really well done movie. I like the characters.
Yeah, that's
I
true.
Liked how scary it was. I liked how it was a little more kind of intense from an action standpoint. So that's where I'd probably go an 8, just because I just, as a standalone, I really watch it now. In comparing it to the first one, or like discussing like the plot tie-ins with the first one, that's where I think I'd take away from it a little bit.
Yeah. So I don't know. 'Cause that is true. I did enjoy it. I think that matters. I think your perception in the movie almost matters just as much as like those little things too. So yeah, I think a 7, not a 6.5. 6.5 is too low. I think 7 to maybe 7.5. So like, yeah, I think like a low B is like where I would like rate it at, you know, like I thought it was good. You know, it was good. I don't think it's nearly as good as the first one. I don't agree with a lot of the decisions they made about like making tie-ins and stuff. There were little things that I thought were like, you know, kind of plot holes. Like I feel like it was a little bit of a plot hole that he never attacked anybody else really, other than some scratches. I feel like, you know, even though obviously he has a type of victim he likes, you know, would have made sense in the moment for him to maybe prevent other people from getting the bodies of the people that he was trying to keep buried. But yeah, all in all, I think it was a good movie. So yeah. 7.5, you know, it's good.
All right. Well, that does it for us. Make sure you subscribe and be sure to check out our next episode.